I'm going to talk to you, though, today about the powerful influence of a father. And I know you ladies know that more than probably anyone else. I used to see the things that my husband did, and it was like he was afraid of nothing, and he was bold, and he was meek, and he was kind, and he was a man of prayer. And I was thinking about the father that he was to my girls, and how that Sarah only had him until she was 7 years old. But he had made such a mark on her by the time she was seven. And Sarah carries so many of his characteristics and his traits. And she even speaks some of her words like him, though that she didn't even really remember him pronouncing certain words that he did. But she says it like that. She gets her quietness and conservatism from him, I guess. And so I appreciate my husband today on Father's Day and my precious, precious daddy. He was just the sweetest. We went to church on Sunday morning pretty much. Before he passed, I think he was going very faithfully. But I'll tell you something about my daddy that I remember both from him and my husband, and I can also say about my brothers, all of those men, and I'm so thankful for this, were good providers. I mean, they provided. And they were protectors of their families. They were like a security blanket. I remember when my dad passed, we just felt like, what are we going to do? It's like the covers were pulled back, and you lay bare before the world because the dad was out of the house. He was our covering. He was our protector. He was our provider. He promoted us. He loved us. There was nothing that we couldn't do. He believed in us. He worked hard, and he had fun, and he loved music, and he could sing. I mean, his voice, he had a set of lungs that was just strong, and so we always, we didn't have anything, but we had two things in our home. We had wonderful parents, wonderful siblings, and I'll never forget, we never, ever, and you know what? And my mom and dad didn't go around always saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. They just did it. You know, I don't know if you call it old school or what, but they weren't telling us they loved us all the time. But there was always love in our house. There was always a multitude of love in the house and a multitude of music. We always had music and love, and we're all music lovers today. All family people, he loved his family and took care of us. Now, my husband, again, was all of those things, except I never heard my daddy pray out loud. Well, he prayed over the dinners, but I didn't know him to be a praying man, though I'm sure he was when he was out alone. But my husband was a praying man, and I know that. He was a man of prayer. But I want to tell you, ladies, every now and then, I think women speak a little bit or a lot out of turn about your husband, saying he doesn't pray. My husband just doesn't pray. I can't force him to pray. You don't know that. And let me tell you something about men. They don't pray like women. Women go before God, and we go in there, and we tell him how we feel, and we just lay it like one of the Old Testament prophets said. We just lay it all out on the table. And we're probably like the woman that worried the judge. He's like, I'm just going to do it. Just get out of town. Leave me alone for a while. You know, we tell him everything. The men say, God, I got to have $300 by Tuesday. And that's it. And they go their way, and they trust God. God's going to take care of me. Wife says something, don't worry about it. I already prayed about it. Well, if he told her how he prayed, she'd say, no, you didn't. You need to fast, and you need to pray, and you need to. Don't worry about it. Just talk to the Lord the way you talk to the Lord. But I want to tell you, there are many, many awesome, awesome fathers in this world today. Sometimes we hear about all the bad guys, you know, deadbeat dads, as it's called today. And I started to open with some little icebreakers, as if you want to call them that. You know, you could go on the internet, and I saw my share of them. Statistics of how many more cards Mother's Day sales are than men's, and lunches, more lunches for women than men, and all this, you know. And I started to go down through all that. It was kind of funny. And I thought, No, you know what? Dads get whipped on enough. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to make anything funny about dads today, because you are fun and you can be funny. But I want to tell you something. You're awesome and you've got a lot of strength, and there's a lot of powerful, powerful influence in the men. With your godly man or an ungodly, great influence comes from the dad of that house. Let me read to you real quickly. I'm only going to read you one scripture today out of Genesis chapter 18. I will read two verses out of Genesis 18 and 19. Genesis 18 and 19. God speaking about Abraham. Look at this. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Why? Why would God use Abraham? Look at what it says. This is so amazing. Verse 19. For I have known him. I know him, God says. In order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham to what he has spoken to him. He said, I have made covenant with this man, Abraham, because I know him. And I know what he is going to do. In verse 19, he said, I'm going to keep covenant with him in order that he may command his children. Because he is going to command his children. He's going to protect them. He's going to honor them. And he is going to bless them. So I'm going to give him all of that. And look at this. And his household after him. That's us. And his household after him. His children, his children's children, children, all the way down. So in verse 18, I love it that it says, since, now remember, look at me. You know, Abraham had no children. Nada. Zilch. None. And he said, oh, by the way, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations will be blessed in him, and I'm going to do that because I know him, and he's going to, you know, he's going to command his children. His children are going to be godly people, and they're going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And he talks about him like he's somebody. And he tells the whole world, this man is somebody. I know him. Oh, I love it. That I may bring to Abraham everything that I promised him. He's going to command his children in the ways of the Lord, and I'm going to bless him. Now look, it says he's going to be a mighty nation, but can I tell you something about you fathers? You're a mighty nation too. A mighty nation is in your loins. You say, I just got one little boy. Yeah, but that little boy is going to have a boy and have a boy and have a boy and have a boy. If Jesus doesn't come, you're going to be a mighty nation. Now, your great-great-grandparents are already mighty nations. Look how many people. Gabby was telling me, I think her mother had 12 kids. Linda's has 12 kids. Mothers had 12 kids. And by the time you get down here to where you are and your grandchildren, you guys have a forest. You just have a forest of people. So I love when Gabby talks about them. But he blessed his children. And if you read a little farther over to chapter 27, you can see where Jacob blessed his son. And here's how he blessed him. He called him in, and you know Esau and a story, so we're not going to go into that story, Jacob and Esau, but Isaac called him in to bless him. He was an old man. He's passing. He's dying. And he said, come, son, I'm going to bless you. Well, Esau was the oldest, but you know he sold his birthright. So Esau takes over and he says, come, son. He says, kiss me on the cheek. Come here and kiss me. And the boy came. Jacob kissed him. And then he put his hand on his head and he touched him and he blessed him. You know how you bless your children? You touch them. You speak over them. Let me just tell you what he said. Let me just go over to 27. I wasn't going to show you this, but I'll read it. Chapter 27, verse 28. Therefore, may God, here's how he blessed, Jacob blessed, excuse me, Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 28, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. And let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and bless those who bless you. This sounds like my daddy would say, I'll just get a hold of them. They touch my babies. He said, I'll curse those that curse you and I'll bless those who bless you. Bless your children, gentlemen. See, God gave us these Old Testament characters to teach us what to do. Touch your sons. Your sons may be 18 years old. You say, son, come over here, kiss daddy goodbye. And he may pout and act like he don't want it, but you just grab him, get him over there. You just go ahead and grab him. That's it, Anthony. You grab that girl. You get her, kiss me over here. I love you. Touch them. Bless them. I wonder how many fathers bless their children today. It's an amazing thing, dads. You are a powerful, powerful influence. I pray that today I can just do a little thumbnail sketch of the power of the father in the home. You build that kind of self-esteem. And I know there's a lot of talk about self-esteem, and there's so much talk that people are worried about self-esteem. Well, if we tell our kids this, they're going to think, what? You want your kids to think they can do it all. You know why you've got this maniac president that thinks he can do anything? You know why? Because he was raised in the Presbyterian Church under Norman Vincent Peale. Now, if you have never read a Norman Vincent Peale book, you need to read one. You know who learned after him was Robert Schuller. Now, you may not like Robert Schuller. He wore the robe and everything. But I'll tell you, Schuller, if you ever read any of his books, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. He wrote like the most common man in the world. His words are full of life and full of strength. And he learned from Norman Vincent Peale. I'll never forget my husband getting a book from Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And it went all through him. And on his job, he came from here, way up to here, and went to the top. Because he thought he could do it all. And that's why our president will take on China and anyone else that wants to come on. Come on, he stood in front of the whole world last night with the whole world against him. Why? He was blessed, blessed, blessed. Dad blessed him. Norman Vincent Peale blessed him. My husband and daughter had passed. It was us. You say, do you feel incomplete? Oh, no. No, I've never felt incomplete. Now, my husband was my covering. And you really, ladies, let me tell you something about your covering. You really don't realize what a covering your husband is until he's gone. But when he's gone out of that house, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. It cannot be overstated what a covering and what a provider and what a blesser your husband is until he's gone. But see, when you no longer have that covering, then you are the covering. You're at the top, okay? So then you bless your families, ladies. I've never felt incomplete. I'm complete. I've always said, no, I went with him. He stayed with me. But the glory of God is the power of the Spirit. We have the ultimate Father working in us and through us. The ultimate husband. He said, you will no longer call me Baali or master, but you will call me Ishai or husband. Men, he's your husband too. And I know it must be hard for you husbands. You carry a lot of stuff, and you carry it all inside, and nobody carries. You're kind of like the silent warrior. Oh, my goodness, if we could look inside you men's heads, my husband would get quiet, and I'd say, what's going on? Oh, nothing. What's going on? Well, about a month later, he might tell me. He may not. But he was trying to deal with something, and I said, why didn't you tell me? Well, there's no reason for both of us to carry it. I'm thinking that must be so hard. So I want to tell you guys that you are the bride of Christ too. He's your husband. He's your father. You can lay it all at his feet. Let me give you the description, some descriptions of what I've already mentioned to you. Remember when Jacob said, man, I tell you, if people are going to bow before you, you're going to be a mighty man. You're going to be a man of wealth. Girl, you're going to grow up and you're going to be blessed. And you're going to be mighty, and you're going to be a wealthy person. You're going to be healed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be whole. even said people are going to bow before you. And anyone that's going to be cursed that curses you, blessed that blesses you. No, you're not going to be bullied at school. You'll be a leader, kids, and not a follower. See, you speak these things over your children. Now, kids, let me tell you something. Your dad is a protector in that home. And especially teenagers, your dads will get on your last nerve asking you, where are you going? When are you going to be back? Remember that, Faith? When are you going to come home? Well, it's raining out there. I'll just follow you to school. No, no, no. I can get myself there. No. Why? They're protecting you. Dads protect families when the family doesn't even know they're protecting them. You guys are protectors. You look over your wife. You look over the kids. It's a gift from God. It's like this thing is in your DNA. I've heard Debbie's and Lyndall's daughters talk about how when they were young, growing up in the home, they would want a candy bar, and Lyndall would go down to the store and get that candy bar. You were a provider, Lyndall. You were a protector. You were loving those girls, and they felt that security in the house. It's a beautiful thing. And it cannot be overstated. Let me say it again. To feel that protective covering in that home. That protector. You have no idea. It's covering. It's security. Number two, dads are providers. Yes, they work. You say, well, I work too. I know all households today, most of you work. You both work. But dads also provide something else. They don't just provide the money and bring it home, and if that's the way it is, that's a sad thing. If all dads do today is just bring the bacon home, you know, that's not good. There's so much more to provide, and that is love. You provide wisdom to your children, and you provide love to them, and you provide relationship. Now, I've got your back, sweetheart. I'm with you. I'm covering you. I'm going before you. Dads have all that DNA in them. I mean, they're just ready to go after it to be everything that their children want. Dads, counselors say today and books you can read today that say, moms, they're all about relationships. Well, I'm my girlfriends, my aunt, my, you know, who I am at work, and my ID is it, you know, this with my friends, relationships. But with dads, they want to be a hero. Men want to be somebody's hero. Men want to be appreciated. You say, well, I do too. Yes, but men, their identity is in what they do. And they want their kids to appreciate them. Well, if you want the kids to appreciate them, then you appreciate them as well. See, there's a respect factor. Sometimes as our kids grow up, we've been in control all those years, and it's hard to let them go. I'll never forget the first car I bought my daughter. It was a little blue Ford Escort. And so, you know, just being her and I now for years and few years. And the first time she got in that car and drove away in that little blue Escort, I just stood out in that garage and my eyes just filled with tears. They're running down my face. And I thought, oh God, I've lost control. There she goes. I won't know where she is and what she's doing. But God knew, see. So all I do is go pray when she left and say, Lord, tell on her if you need to. So see, when dad's not at home, mama can handle it as long as you're with Jesus. You single moms, you'll be all right. But dads will look after. Dads, you pay attention. I don't care how they hate it when you ride herd on them. It's not easy to ride herd on your kids. You know, to want to know where they're at, when they're coming home, it's hard to do. And if your dad has been a provider all these years at home, you've watched him work hard, as we did, many of you, you had fathers who worked hard. And you know what? Again, this is a beautiful blessing. But my daddy and my husband, they came home every day after work. Isn't that something? Many of you, you know your daddies came home after work too. They didn't go out and party with the guys. There was a party going on at work. They never even thought about it. My brothers were the same way. They didn't go out and party. They just came right on home. And girls, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you dare, y'all listen to me at home too. Don't you dare marry a man who does not work. Well, he isn't working right now, but he'll get a job. Well, where does he live? With his mama? Uh-uh. No. Just cut him loose. Be nothing but trouble unless you have somebody who will provide for you, put a roof over your head, protect you, protect the kids, and one that will live according to our examples in the Old Testament and the New. Yeah, we've got plenty, plenty of examples to go after. Now, when I say promoter, I think of promoters in Nashville and L.A. and music producers. We used to be out there and we would single a certain song we wrote. And in those days, you know, you had it on records. And you'd still send that little 45 out. And the promoter would get that tune and they would play it on the radio. We still get royalties every now and then from our music that was played on the radio and in the 80s and the 90s. And I was thinking of how Abraham and Jacob here, they promoted their children, how my daddy promoted us, how my husband would promote his girls, how I like to promote you and promote my babies and promote, you know, there's just something, and that's not just being a nourisher. Women like to nourish. But men, according to what Abraham did, according to what God did to Abraham, God was promoting Abraham. He promoted him. He said, look, since he's going to be the father of many nations, that's who he's going to be. This is my son. And he is going to be a father of many nations, and he's going to be such an awesome father, and he's going to promote his kids, and his kids are going to live holy before the Lord, and he's going to command a blessing on them, and the kids are going to do what's right, and it was just wonderful. But see, a promoter just makes other people look good. That's what God did to Abraham. He made him look good. It's what they made our music look good. But when a dad promotes the family, he makes mama look good. He makes the kids look good. You just make the family look good. You say, mama ought to do that. Listen, there's been so much left up to mama. You better leave her alone. Remember the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? That's so true. She'll get you. So, dad, we need you to rise up. You know, if you don't like the way mama's doing something, well, let's pray for mama. But there's some things that the father said. I love this. Our father was promoting Jesus in the Jordan. Jesus was out there getting baptized by John, and you know the story. The father's voice was heard, and everybody heard it, and he said, that's my son, in whom I am well pleased. He was promoting that boy. He's mine, and he just pleases me. That's my boy. He was promoting him. It's okay to brag on your kids. It's okay to lift them up. Come on, it's time to promote who you love. You should affirm your son and daughter. Because you know what happens? Here's what I see. Here's what sets in my office. Here's what I've learned over the years. If you don't affirm your sons and your daughters, if you don't learn how to bless them and speak into their life, you know what's going to happen? If you put them down, and there are some that put their children down, that boy's no good. That girl's done nothing, no good to her mother at all, and that boy has just been a shame to us. Well, you know what happens if that child hears you talking that way or not appreciating or not blessing? If they hear you doing that, they don't put the hate on you. They're not going to hate you. They're going to hate themselves. And so that hate turns right back around and comes right back to them. I remember one time my little firstborn daughter, Jamie, she had made her bed. And so it was the first time she ever made it. She was 3 years old probably. She had made that bed and threw the bedspread over, you know, and it was just hanging. But she ran in there, mommy, 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 look, I made my bed. So my husband and I ran in there to see the bed, and it was just a mess. You know, bedspread's hanging crooked. And my husband says, don't you touch that bed. I said, oh, I wouldn't touch it for anything. And we told people how she made up her bed for the first time, how beautiful the bed was. And she just looked like a peacock. You know, it's just the simplest of things that you bless your children in front of them. Because if you embarrass them in front of people, they will feel, oh, so embarrassed and so ashamed and not good enough. But if you bless them in front of people, you're going to see a change. I promise you. How many? Oh, man, I remember this preacher lady. I know I'm online tonight, and I got to be careful here, but I remember this preacher woman. One time we were at a certain church, and we walked outside, and so I didn't like preacher women anyway. And so anyway, we walked outside, and when she walked out, her son said something, and some kid ratted on him, probably a deacon's kid, told him, excuse me. He said something the son did to him, and when he did, she just went like this, and she was a big woman, and she just turned as far as she could and popped him across the face in front of everybody standing out there. You know, I don't know if it broke that little boy's spirit, but it broke mine. I have never forgotten that to this day. And I thought, I wonder what that little boy's doing today as a man. I wonder what that did to him. Because you could know that that wasn't the first time she did that. No, she did in front of all of us. It wasn't the first time that she did it. But God honored, he honored Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's like, man, all these guys are great fathers. They blessed their children and their children's children. There was something about blessing children that God just loved. And that's why you got these patriarchs that God lifted up that you and I never forget. And they're recorded in the Word, Old Testament, New Testament. Oh, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ultimate fathers. Great men, and God honored them. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm a little bit bashful to do that. No, there's ways you can bless your child and affirm them. There's ways that you can do it. But you don't want them to feel insignificant and embarrassed and those kind of things. Well, I better get on. Not only are you a protector and a provider and a promoter, but you're a priest, dads. You're a priest. You say, really? I don't feel like a priest. No, you're a priest. I don't even care if your kids are married now, the house, you're still a priest. Priests pray for people and priests bless people. I mean, even a physical priest today over at the Catholic churches, they bless people and they pray for people. You know, a priest talks to God for the people. And so we pray for each other, pray for your children. You say, well, I'm not treated like a priest in my home. Well, do you act like one? Do you pray for your family? Do you bless them? Do you bless the kids? Do you bless your wife? Or are you just chatty-catty to all your buds about them? No. And you can't just be preoccupied in the house. You can't just come to house to church and pray. That's not worth much. To just come to church and pray, that's not enough, dads. I'm talking to you at home today, too. But when you come to church and you pray here and you pray at home, and I love the men of God who pray, and I know the men of God are in this house, and I know many of you pray, and many of you do bless your children every single morning. But if all you're doing is coming here and you don't go home and you're preoccupied with everything else at home and everything else is more important to you than your wife and your kids, if everything else is more important, then that's not a priest. That is not a priest. You can't be preoccupied with other things and be a priest. A priest will pray. And you know what, men? Nobody can pray for your wife or kids like you. No one. Nobody has the authority to bless your children but you. Unless you're gone, then your wife stands in that gap. She can bless them. But as long as you're on earth, you are there to be a blesser. And God will honor you. Let me start to finish here. As soon as Noah came off the boat, you know what happened? He built an altar on that boat 40 days and 40 nights. You know, he prayed a lot of prayer. The minute he got off that boat, what did he do? He prayed. David went to get the Ark of the Covenant, and he brought it back, and every six paces, he had to sacrifice an animal. It was a big deal. The minute he got home, the Bible said David went inside his house, and you know what he did? He blessed his family. He blessed his children. He blessed his wife. And there's many, many young men running rampant out there and in prisons that nobody ever affirmed them. Nobody ever blessed them. Nobody ever said you're a good boy, something good's going to happen to you. It ain't over yet. There's a lot of things that's happened in your life, but it's not done. And the Bible says this, guys. Oh, that men would lift up holy hands everywhere without wrath and without doubtings. Oh, that men would pray without ceasing. Why? Because your problems come from every direction. And if you pray, he'll forgive your sin and heal your land. Because God is covering you, and you are his priest. And not only are you his priest, then not only is he your covering, the Bible says you are your wife's covering, he is your covering, but you are also his glory. I wish it would have said the women were his glory, but it says you men are his glory. So gentlemen, show up for the fight, man. Be there with your wife. Fight for those kids at school. Something going on at school, well, get there and fight the battle with them in prayer and believe God to turn that thing around. You could change everything if you make your family and your children your priority. You can't make other things your priority. Well, my wife, their, you know, family's her priority. No, it's got to be your priority too. That's what God put in you. And I'll quit with this. Dads have to be prophets. Good dads. Good dads are prophets. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm not a prophet. No, no, no. You prophesy all the time. All the time you prophesy. For instance, Rachel, there's so many examples we could go to, but Rachel was having her second baby, which was going to be a boy. And when the baby was born, she died. You know the story. She died in childbirth, having that baby, and she suffered so hard, and she said, this baby will be called Benoni, or that meant the son of sorrows. I will name him after me. I had him in my sorrow, and she passed. And the nurse heard her say, his name shall be called Benoni, the son of my sorrows. So Jacob comes in the house. He'd been gone. He came home. She said, Jacob, the baby was born. How is he? And she hands him the little dead baby and says, the live baby, said Rachel, has passed. And said, his name shall be called Benoni, son of sorrows. You know what Jacob said? Oh, no, he won't. Oh, no, no, no. His name shall be called Benjamin. He's the son of my strength. He's the son of my right hand, and he is the son of my power. And kings came out of the loins of that little boy. Many, many kings of Israel came out of the loins of little Benjamin. I wonder what would have happened if Daddy hadn't changed his name. I wonder if he had allowed Mama's name that she had named him. You're a sorrowful kid because you were born in hard times. Ladies, don't put your bitterness, don't put your stuff on those kids. Come on, dads, if you got to change the name, you better change that baby's name. But you got it done because he began to produce kings. Make sure your children know who they are. Prophesy their future to them. Honey, you're going to be a blessed man of God, blessed woman of God. Tell them who they are. If you say, well, I never had anything like that. Well, cut the cords now, and today you start taking it from here into your family. Just start the tradition right now. And let me tell you what happened. There was a friend of ours. He is a foreigner. And in his country, they don't treat their... And he's a minister as well. In their country, they don't treat their daughters as they do their sons. Their sons are of great value, but the girls are not so much to the dads. But the boys are everything. And so, you know what? He treated that little boy with value, even now that he's married. I mean, he just invests money in him, money, money, money. And I mean, he just supports him and all this. And the little girl, she just, you know, she was never worth anything to Dad. And that hurt her growing up. And you know what? That little girl married men just like he treated her. Those are the kind of men that she married. She's on her third one now. Last I heard, it was third. But he treated her just like her dad did, without any affirmation, without any importance. He did not treat her the same as he treated that son that was so important in their nation. So we got to understand that your affirmation is so important to what you say to your sons and your daughters and in your home. So today, may every dad go home and speak blessings to your children and over their lives. And I believe you'll see change come. Do you need change in your home? You can have it. But know you're a priest. Know that you are a provider. And know that you would say, I know I'm a provider, but I'm not a priest and I'm not a prophet. No, you are a prophet. Prophesy. I don't care how bad off that boy is. I don't care how bad off that girl is, where she's been, what she's done, how he acts or how she acts. You have the authority to produce change. So change that name to Benjamin or whatever you've got to change it to. God said, Abraham is the father of many nations. Abraham said, Jacob said, no, he's my strength. He's the son of my strength. He's the son of my power. He's a big boy and he's strong and he's full of power and blessing. So be a blesser today, dads. You've got it in your DNA. You've got so much power and anointing in you to change everything in your home and in your life. Stand with me today in Jesus' name. Father, we have protectors in this house. We have providers and promoters and priests and prophets. The men of God are mighty in strength. They are mighty men of valor. And yet, Lord, today there may be somebody here like old Gideon that's hidden down in the wine press, and he feels like nothing. He said, they treat me like nothing. We'll start blessing. You say, I can't bless them when they're yelling and screaming like that. Well, you get in your car, you go somewhere, but you get alone and you start blessing. And you start giving affirmation to that woman, to those children. You start affirming and you watch everything change in your life. And in that child's life, promote them. Be a priest. Pray over them. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Paulette, I need to just reaffirm myself with Jesus. I need his affirmation today. Listen, he knows who you are. Remember why he said, I want to bless Abraham? He said, I want to bless him so that he can fulfill all the purpose I've called him to. I want him to do everything I've called him to. That's why you've got to meet him like this. He affirms you. He loves you. He knows you. He knows that you will speak into your children. But if you're here today and you say, I don't know him the way I want to know him, I want to rededicate my life to him. Are you here today? God bless you, sir. Is there anyone else in the house? Even at home, maybe you want to reaffirm your life with Jesus today and say, I just want to accept him as my father. See, that's the problem with us sometimes, church. God bless you, sir. I see you. You had a bad father. You don't get it. You don't get fatherhood because your dad was so bad. But then other people have had bad dads and my goodness, you love God as your Father. Father, may you show up to these two that have lifted their hands today. And those at home that are listening to me now in Jesus' name. Father, may you wash and cleanse these precious men. Lord, I pray that a fresh anointing would rise up in this house. Lord, among the landmark dads, the dads of America, let them arise and stand with your affirmation. Lord, and your words of prophecy over them. And your promoting of their lives in this world. Lord, your calling of them to be priests and prophets. Promote them, Father, as they promote their families. Gentlemen, just ask the Lord to wash you of your sins and forgive you. He said, oh, turn from your wicked ways and I'll hear from heaven and I will heal your land. Fathers, I know that trouble comes from you from every direction and sometimes your wife doesn't even know it. Nobody knows it but you. And Father, I pray that as they turn and look at you, you will heal their land. Oh God, we give you praise in Jesus' name.
You've been good.
Oh, let's sing that.
Good to me.
You make me want to lift my hands.
Makes me want to lift my hands. Makes me want to sing. You've been good. Good to me. You are so faithful. Good to me,
you are so faithful.
Our God is faithful.
Good to me. Amen, church. How many of you love your dad and your husband and the memory of them? Come on and give them a big God bless you today. Amen. Men, you are loved at Landmark. I love every one of you men. I honor you. And ladies, give honor where honor is due. Give honor to the men of God today. Wish them all. Make sure you get to every man and wish them happy Father's Day. You don't need to hug them. Don't need to shake their hand yet. All right. Now let's still practice that right now. We're not wearing. But let's just keep our distancing, okay, and honor each other with that. All right, God bless you. I love you so much. See you Wednesday night at 6:30. Happy Father's Day, guys.